Yes, I'm Roger. It's overwhelming to be opening this man to any man to man. I'm an extremely grateful member of Al-Anon. And what I'd like to do is ask you guys if we could start with a moment of silence. A sponsor, and he has a sponsor, and I sponsor some guys. I sponsor some blessed guys. My home group is a 7 o'clock Let's Rock men's Al-Anon meeting in La Cañada, and up until COVID. It was the only men's meeting in the world that had a babysitter. It was because some of the guys couldn't leave their kids home with the wife. We needed it. A lot of those kids grew up there. One guy came in one night and said, I didn't want to come tonight. And my daughter wanted to come out and hang with her friends. So I came. Extremely proud to be a member of that group, and it's the best hybrid meeting I've seen since COVID happened. What brought me to Al-Anon over 20 years ago was my wife's spending. She had gotten sober a few years before. She melted down on our daughter's 17th birthday. Putting on the party was a little too much for her. She took a few too many, whatever she was taking, drank a few too many glasses of wine and was playing with her food. And the whole party was standing there going, what's wrong with her? She went to detox. She went to rehab. I drove down to the rehab where they told me it was family night. And they said, you have a problem too, and you need to go to Al-Anon. It was like, she's the one in rehab. I have a good job. We have a nice house. I drove a Porsche down there. So you know I'm a deep thinker. The next week when I went to take my kids to that meeting, this is LA, we turned around because we were going to be almost an hour late. And besides, why do I need to spend my precious time going to meetings when she's the problem? I worked hard. I worked a lot of 60-hour weeks. I thought if I had enough money, I wouldn't need God. I'm still deep thinking in my story here. What happened was she got apparently sober, and I thought part of her program was to hear how she had screwed up our family. It was her fault. She was the problem. I was fine. And I would tell her this every chance I felt like she needed to hear it. One night I was doing this. And I was doing a very good job of it, by the way. And she said to me, I'm not letting you affect my serenity. And she turned and walked away. Now, 99% of me wanted to burst into flames. I was so pissed. But 1% of me was jealous of what she had just done. She had put her serenity above my disease. And my disease is, you need to change so I'll be okay. Don't laugh. She became a little star. She didn't go out. She was going to a local clubhouse in our town that's been there since the 40s. She was dressing like a biker chick with Harley stickers in her car and all the, took her 2.5 hours to get ready to go to the meetings. I had no idea what was going on. She wound up, she was in charge of the finances for our business and our family. I have a small business. And one night, she left a pile of bad news, stack of papers, and she moved in with her brother because she had gotten us into serious debt. I was working, I calculated at one time, kind of a poor man's calculation, I've worked way over 1,060-hour weeks. I know how to work. And I was a victim. She had done this to me. All I did was go to work every day. I was perfect. I felt like I was doing everything right, and she did this to me. At the exact same time this was happening in my life, my dad was melting down. My dad was raised by a mean alcoholic. Mean, mean alcoholic. The only thing that was confusing about that for me is this mean alcoholic, my grandfather, the only person in the world he showed love to was me. He was uninvited to all their friends' houses at the holidays because he was such a jerk. And my dad treated me probably somewhat the way he was treated by his dad. So we had no relationship. And he was melting down. I do not know what happened to him. He had maybe some little strokes. He wound up in the hospital. My sister lives far away, and I'm the only one who could take care of him, and I had to take care of my dad. And he was a hoarder. And his house, and I didn't know this, because I hadn't been to his house in a long time. It was trails through the house of treasures, few, and a lot of trash. And I was so angry about this. I'm busy at work. I have no money. I'm living on bean and cheese burritos. They're like 69 cents. I have a good practice. I'm making good money. And I have none. The girls that work for me went into my house and took all the records and sorted out my finances. And during this time, I went to get gas in my truck. And my card was denied. And I had no idea how I had gotten here. I sat in my truck and I just cried. What happened? Went to school, I got a good job, I have good kids. We looked good on the outside, but on the inside we were a disaster. One of my clients, I see people one-on-one, could tell I was a disaster and gave me some Al-Anon CDs to listen to. And I'm a big audiobook listener. It was no big deal to throw them in the thing and go through my dad's house and listen to them. And every one of them was a miracle. They started out worse than me. And at the end, they were better than me. They were happy and everybody was laughing and they were doing great. And I wanted what they had. And I promised myself that when something happened with my dad, that I would go to Al-Anon. And he wound up dying. And he died on a Friday in 2001, and I was at an Al-Anon meeting that Monday. And I sat in that meeting pissed off because why do I have to go here? You know, I don't get loaded and crash cars and embarrass myself. And I didn't do any of that stuff. I was mad. I sat in the corner so nobody would notice me. I was hoping I was invisible, and I don't remember a thing except one lady talked to me. Nobody really came to me like I was a newcomer. They were all having a great time. They all knew each other, and nobody came up and introduced himself or anything like that. I remember. I would remember it. I was petrified. But one lady I sort of knew, and we talked, and she was so friendly that she's the reason I came back. That was the only reason. And I had nowhere else to go. Therapy was once a week. We didn't get anything done in therapy at the time. We weren't ready for it as a couple, and I wasn't ready for it. And the next week I came, and I didn't get anything. And this is June. The next week, somebody nominated me. I'm invisible. They don't, how did you even see me? Nominated me to be the literature person. And as I went to say no, it happened just like this. I was puckered up, ready to say no, and a voice inside me said, don't say no. Just like that. So I said yes, they all clapped. I didn't sleep for a few days because I knew they were going to find out that really I was a loser. And the next week, some little lady came up and said, what's a good book? I'm new. I said, I don't know. I have this one. She said, I'll take it. And I thought, oh, man, this is, Al-Anon's run by the lunatics. And that's still true to this day. And I listened. I just sat there and listened. I had nowhere else to go. And one night, when they were reading the same thing, I realized the Al-Anons were a little slow because they read the same thing every week. But I heard this night, the second step. And I thought, you know, I can do that. Because all it says is you got to believe. That's all it says. And if I'd lived to be a million, I never would have thought to ask God for help. Don't ask me why, but I wouldn't have. And years later, a sponsee said to me, regarding step two, how can I be restored to sanity when my family's not sane and when I was born everybody was crazy? And I remember thinking, that's a pretty good question. I don't know what to say to that. So I looked up the word restore for some reason. And nowadays, restore means you get something back you had on your computer. That's basically when anybody around now uses it. But in those days, well, in the early days when these steps were written, the word restore means to get something back you deserve to have as a child of God. If you're born sick, you can be cured. If you're born into slavery, you can be free. If you're born crazy, you can become sane. And while I was at it, I looked up sanity. Seemed like a pretty good idea at the time. And in the old dictionaries, and that's what I'm talking about now, the old dictionaries, it was the same thing in every one of them. It said soundness of mind. That's it. So I looked up the word sound. And in those old dictionaries, it's a whole page. The word sound means strong and has integrity, is well made. The word sonar is Latin. We send a signal down inside us, and information and guidance comes back. My higher power I got in the second step, it's right in here, and I can send a prayer down as sonar, and something comes back to me. And step about this time, I needed a sponsor. Now, I did not want one. I didn't understand why these people, who do these people think they are telling these guys what to do? I did not like that idea at all. Didn't see the need for it. But everybody was doing it, so there's one guy in our meeting who always said something constructive and humble. And I called him because I knew he's probably going to say no and it wouldn't be so bad. And instead he said he'd be honored. Nobody's ever said that to me before in my life, that they'd be honored to do something for me. And when I went to his house to work on step one, and I didn't think he had to really do any work. I thought it was just going to be, okay, man, good job, you know. And he really wanted to philosophize on step one. And I didn't know how to do that. I wasn't prepared. But I wanted to get an A in Al-Anon. So when it came to step two, I could philosophize to the best of my ability on step two when I was this new. In step three, all it said was decide. Decide. It says in one of our readings, to turn your thoughts and your actions. I can do that. I can make that decision if I'm doing okay. I don't always do it. I rarely do it, to tell you the truth. But I do know that it's a decision, and I can decide to be crazy, or I can decide to be sane. Before I came to Al-Anon, the only thing that had helped me was journaling. I journaled from the Art of Sway. Some of you might know what that is. And it's basically 3 pages a day, every day. And I got so much relief from journaling that I journaled every day for like 15 years. It was the only way I could get some relief from the noise in my head. So when my sponsor told me we were going to do the 4-step, well, I think I asked him. He never told me anything. He said, we're going to do it from the 5-column method of the Big Book of AA. And here's what you do. And I read the pages and I started writing. That was a piece of cake. I knew how to write because I'd written a million pages. And I was doing fine until I got to column 4. Because in column 4 is where I found out I caused all my misery. It was not them. I really wanted it to be them. I love blame. If you take the me out of blame, 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 you're left with blah, blah, blah. Sadly true. And when I did my 5th step, I rode around in the truck with my sponsor while he did errands, my notebook on my lap, and I read across the top of the page, and I read, you know, one of the ones, you know, all the way across, and he said, okay, read it alone. That's it for all this. He just, yeah, read another one, okay. So I read another one. He said, ha, okay, read another one. And I read another one. And I was starting to get more afraid. Because I thought when I got to some of the bad ones, he was going to pull the truck over and beat me up just like my dad would have done. If he found out how vulnerable I was, he would have used it against me. And he didn't do that. When I got all done, he said, do you notice any pattern in what you read me today? And I sure did, that I had no self-esteem. I didn't know that. Did not know that. I had a Porsche. Duh. I knew that I had financial insecurity, but it made perfect sense to me. Everything that I had to let go of made sense to me in this sick way. I love blame. I love denial. I have these internal fog machines that I can turn on when I start to get scared and I don't see or notice anything. It's like a gray out of some sort. And I can live that way really easy. I can live in misery. Somebody was just saying it the other day. I can live in misery and kind of be okay. We went back to his house. We got on our knees, we held hands, we said the 3rd step prayer and the 7th step prayer, and he said, congratulations, you just did steps 4, 5, 6, and 7. I felt like I got an A on a midterm. I felt so good that I took a year off. 4 steps in one day? I deserved it. I still went to meetings, I still did all that stuff, but I didn't do any step work. But what I didn't know, step 1 worked me. When I noticed step 2, I looked back and thought, God, step 1 worked me. Step 6 and 7 worked me. I was so amazed that I did this to myself. That all I thought about for that year was all the things that I had done to harm other people, and I wanted to make it right. So I was ready for step 8. The list was easy. But I will tell you this, it was a lot more on my list than it was in my 4th step. I had done something in high school. It's a long story, but I'd done something in high school that I was ashamed about. I have a little ranch in Southern California, and we've had a lot of dogs. the part of Southern California I live in, we don't put little dresses on our dogs. Paint their fingernails and rhinestone collars and stuff. The dogs live outside and they're supposed to find snakes and gophers and keep the coyotes away. I'm ashamed to tell you this, but I wasn't that good to some of my dogs. I was a jerk at my dad's funeral. So, and a lot of other stuff, but those are the things that really jump out. In step 9, my sponsor told me, I want you to call me before you do any one of these amends so you don't do more harm. And I just, the way I'm built is I wanted to do that hardest one first. The thing that happened in high school. So I called him, and I told him what happened, because it wasn't in my, he didn't even know about it yet. He said, well, what do you think you should say? And we talked about how I might say it, and I drove out to this guy's house. It was about an hour away. And he was happy to see me, wanted to hang out, remember when, play guitars and goof off. And I said, the reason I came here is that thing that I did that day. I did it. That was me. And he couldn't even remember it. It was a big deal. And he was going, he finally said, oh yeah. He said, it's okay. And I said, no, I did that. It was so wrong, I didn't know. I just realized how wrong it was. He said, it's okay, man. And we hung out, you know, I had burgers and, you know, that kind of stuff. And as I was leaving, he hugged me and said, it's okay. Now, I felt like I floated home. I did not know how much this stuff was weighing me down. We're as sick as our secrets. They're heavy and they're expensive. They take a lot of crap out of us to keep them alive. And to let them go is wonderful. I went to my stepmom's house and said, I'm still really mad at Dad, and I was a jerk, and it was wrong to be the way I was. And she just hugged me, and it was okay. My dogs sleep on my bed now. In step 10, I just wanted to keep that feeling going. It's hard to do. Just now, I was talking to my roommate, and it reminded me that I really need to make a better amends to my wife. I almost asked my sponsor if I could do it today over the phone, but I didn't. I said, I need you to help me do it when I get home. But in step 10, I work with some really wonderful girls, and we have a lot of fun. We tease, and I thought I'd maybe cross the line with one of them one time, and I said, hey, I cross the line with you. You've been kind of standoffish lately. And she said, no, my daughters are driving me crazy. And she came up and hugged me. It's a big compliment to tell somebody that you were wrong. Made me feel good and made her feel good. I know how to, I know how to do that sometimes now. And then when I got to step 11, I thought, I have the same house, same wife, same kids, same job. My life is better and different. And the only thing that had changed was I was doing the work in Al-Anon. Some work. I maybe could have done more, but I know how to get an A in a class. That's easy. Well, sometimes it's easy. And about this time, I got a call from a carload of crazy ladies, and they asked me if I would be the be on the service board for Southern California World Service. And I said yes, because I learned that one. And they all clapped, and everything was fine, and I called my sponsor instantly and said, I'm in over my head this time. He said, which position did you take? Oh, I see what you're thinking. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't that big a position. I took institutions. But he said, I did that one. I'll help you. You can't make this stuff up. What I found out later was I was the co-chair of a big AA H&I convention in Southern California. It's awesome. At my first meeting, I went to a meeting in a funky, scary clubhouse in Long Beach. If you know Long Beach, it's a port town and it's nasty. And I'm in there with the old metal folding chairs and Not one tile matched. Some tile guy came in there. And there's about 30 or 40 crusty, crusty old AA guys. And as they're going around the room introducing themselves, I'm Jim and I'm the worst alcoholic in the world. And I'm sitting there going, Jesus, listen to these guys. And when it came to me, I almost went, I'm Roger, I'm an LO. But I didn't. I didn't. I said, I'm Roger, I'm an LO. And they all clapped. And I was the only one they clapped for. Only one. And at the break, about four or five of the guys walked by me and said, hey, I got an LO too, but don't tell these guys. And I found out later why they clapped for me. They clapped for me because while they were in prison, their wives and families went to Illinois and kept their families together. And these big, scary guys were just big pussycats. They were the sweetest guys in the world. The Illinois luncheon sold out instantly. They loved Illinois. It was such a wonderful commitment. I've been carrying the message. I started a bunch of panels. I was doing this. The girls I worked for had seen how much I changed, and the girls I worked with, I actually did work for them. They started going to Al-Anon because of what they saw happening to me. I said, you guys are normal. They said, no, we're not. They went to the meeting and said, yeah, no, you're right, you're not. Keep going. So I was in some ways working the 12 step. I look up words all the time. It's something that's really helped me because I can really easily be vague. It's so easy to just use any old word. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. Well, Bill Wilson certainly wasn't that way. And the word steps is in the dictionary. And the definition is something you do in order to get someplace. Swear to God, it's in there. And I needed to be someplace, and I was someplace. My wife had gone to a doctor who said, you're not alcoholic, you're bipolar. Take all these pills and you'll be fine. And he gave her a bag of pills, like 7 or 8 prescriptions. And she might have felt she was fine, but she was a zombie. A real life zombie before they were in movies and stuff. Before they starred in movies, she was one of them, yeah. And watching her be her, I want to jump out of my skin and run away. The best description of how she was watching her walk down the hallway to change the temperature on our thermostat. It took 100% of her attention to do that. And I was going crazy. We drove to a meeting about an hour away together, and my grand sponsor was there. And he said, how you doing, Raj? And I said, terrible. He said, what's going on? And I told him. And I said, what do I do? And he said, be a loving husband and keep the focus on yourself. Now, I knew how to keep the focus on myself because I'd worked the steps of Al-Anon. But I did not know how to be a loving husband. I did not learn that at home. And one day I was getting ready to go to work and I was putting my shoes on. And I thought, a loving husband would kiss his wife goodbye. And when I walked down the hallway to kiss her goodbye, I would have rather thrown up on the floor of our hall than to kiss her goodbye. And I kissed her on the knee or something because she was asleep. And as I walked back down the hallway, I felt a lot better. And it reminded me of our Al-Anon declaration, let it begin with me. If there's going to be love and understanding in our house, and compassion, maybe it can come from me. Maybe it doesn't have to come from somebody else. Maybe the same week, another one of my clients came in. She'd been in Al-Anon a long time. She was a good family friend. And she said, how's it going? And I said, terrible. She said, what's going on? And I told her. And I said, what do I do? She says, I can tell you what to do. It works every time. It takes 3 weeks. And I said, what's that? She said, pray for her. On your knees. That she gets everything she wants from her higher power for her highest good. And I did that a couple of times that day. And I did it a few more times the next day. And I did it every single time. I thought, you ruined my life. Which is a lot. What it doesn't say, what she didn't say, and is in the reading, which I found out is on page 552 of the big book, it also says, you don't even have to mean it. Just have to do it. Luckily. Right at this time, my son was getting married. He's in sales. He's really successful, and he put on this killer wedding. It was in Santa Barbara, where The Bachelor was. If you saw that show, that's where it was. It was first class, 3 bands, big deal. And his mom missed every wedding-related, the shower. She showed up when they were doing dishes. It was very embarrassing for her and our family. She missed the rehearsal. I had to get some teenagers to be her. And she missed other things. She became a joke. Everybody was making fun of her. My son said to me, Dad, I don't know how to get Mom to show up to the wedding. This is an Al-Anon slip. I said, son, I'll take care of that. And when I left for the wedding, we stayed on the beach in Santa Barbara and drove up the mountain to this place. She was in the shower. And I know how long it takes her to get ready. A long time. And on the way up there, I called my sponsor. I don't remember what he said. But I called one of my running buddies. And he said, Roger, you've been in boot camp now in Al-Anon. Today, when you go up to the wedding, you're going to war. You've got to take every tool that you've learned in Al-Anon with you. And I walked right up. I knew how to make amends. I walked right up to my son and I said, I was wrong to tell you I could get Mom to come. I do not know what's going to happen, but let's have a great day. And we hugged and we were okay. Now, to her credit, she did show up the last second. I'm so glad because this would have really, really hurt her. What that prayer did for me, what praying did for me, was it detached me. I didn't do the math. I think we've been married 45, 46, 47 years now, and we're still married. Hold on, I lost my train of thought, guys. What that prayer did for me was it detached me. All of a sudden, that prayer made her her and me me. And I had been being a loving husband, keeping the focus on myself. And I don't remember anything about this, but I remember she was mad at me for something. And I remember she stood here and yelled at me. And I knew that I had nothing to do with why she was mad. And I remember just kind of going, it was like a movie I was watching. Like, she's just yelling. And I'm like, oh, okay. I knew how it felt to be detached from this, finally. How much time? I can't see the clock too well. How much time do I have?
About 15 minutes.
Oh, criminy. I could go on forever. I was just tired of this. The spending had come back. Because of all this drug stuff. And I was done. And one morning she came in and said, why are you dressed? You don't work on this day. And I said, well, since you asked, I'm going to an attorney. She said, why? I said, because I want a divorce. Now, it was this simple, but I didn't know it was until it came out of my mouth. I said, because I don't want to live this way. And she said, let's work it out. and I didn't call my sponsor. But I knew what he would have said. He would have said, we don't shoot our wounded in Alamo. She deserves a second chance. Maybe just listen to see what she has to say. So I said, well, what do you have in mind? Because you know what I have in mind. And she said, I'll go back to AA, I'll go to DA, and I want to go to a male therapist with you. The lady who told me about the prayer that same day gave me a male therapist number. Ha ha, amazing that, right? What a coincidence. And the post-it was still on my desk. And I said, what's her name? Gave me a therapist. You want to go see him? She said, yeah. So we went to this guy's office, and it turned out he'd been in Al-Anon for 35 years. And my sponsor said, you're in a slip-free zone. Say anything you want and let him correct you. For example, she doesn't go to enough meetings. And he said, how many meetings she goes to is none of your business. Now, I didn't learn it from him. I had learned it from my sponsor. He finally said, stay the F out of her business. At this therapist's office, I heard why, maybe, she drank and used. She had something really bad happen to her when she was a kid. Really, really bad. In fact, when he heard it, he said, I need to see her alone. And I didn't say, see, you're the crazy one, I'm fine, because I could have. I really felt sorry, because I knew this had happened, but I never appreciated its significance. And it gave me compassion, and we did pretty well. We did pretty well for quite a while. She started going to meetings, she got sponsors, she got a really good job, where she was awesome at it. It was a small company, and everybody came to her retirement, like maybe 200 people or something like that. She was great. She made decent money. We had insurance, and she retired about 5 or 6 years ago, and I did too at the same time. I work a little. I love my job, but I still do a little. I have a big life. I go to a lot of meetings. I play in a couple of bands. I play in dive bars. It don't make it sound like a side. Hollywood bull crap, you know. But I love to play. I have a lot of fun. And I have a lot of friends, and I'm always going someplace. And she's doing whatever she's doing. She started slurring her words, falling down, buying more crap. But I'm minding my own business, living my life. And it got pretty bad. And my daughter, the wedding we went to, my daughter was one of the bridesmaids, and being with her mom, who was high as a kite, zombie crazy, made her so nuts she started going to Al-Anon. And she said, Mom's using again, I bet. And I said, you know, you might be right. And within like 2 days, she had an intervention. Now, this is during Zoom, so we had this intervention AA lady, my two kids and my wife and me. And we're sitting there on Zoom, and she says, well, I have a problem. And my son says, he doesn't go to Al-Anon, but he says, Mom, if you have a problem, why don't you do something about it? They were raised with some horrific fights. Horrific fights. We drugged them through hell. My daughter said, Mom, you either get it together and go to AA, or I'm done with you. So she did. She went to a rehab, a Beverly Hills rehab, a very expensive rehab, you might say. Money's a problem for me, so I didn't like that too much. She checked in without my knowledge, and my sponsor said, what did he say? He said, clearly God didn't need your opinion on this. But what happened was, they gave her like 4 days free because she got worse. When I picked her up, they're like, hey, sorry about that. We gave her some free days, but she's worse. And I took her home, and she kind of rallied, and she went back to meetings. She got a sponsor. She did okay. And I've heard it said, and I don't know it, but I believe it, but I've heard it, that diseases is in the hallway doing push-ups. She went out again, just recently. I called my sponsor about 3 weeks ago, and I said, I don't want to speak at man-to-man. My talk used to end when the therapist, when I got compassion for her at the therapist's, you know. This is all new to me. The holidays sucked. My kids are like, what's up with mom? It was all back again. I went to a retreat in January, I think. She crashed her car. She was really bad. I came back. She was so bad that I called my sponsor and asked him if I could talk to his wife, who is my wife's sponsor. Very convenient, I'll tell you. And I said to her, and by the way, he determined that her title was sponsor-in-law. And I called her and I said, what do I do? She's taking her to the hospital. So I took her to the hospital. This was a Saturday, not that long ago. And she's kind of going, well, you know, I just, and I said, she takes pills. I think she's been taking pills. And she was. And they said, well, then she obviously needs to go to a drug rehab. I said, okay. I called the sponsor-in-law on the way home and my sponsor, and they both agreed. I took her the next day to a rehab in the morning. A rehab, I've set up a bunch of panels that are still going. They called me that night and said, you need to come and get her. She is way worse than we can deal with. And when I took her out of that place, everybody, all these crazy meth kids and all these other guys were just standing around going, whoa, glad she's gone. It was pretty crazy. It took about four people to get her out of this place into my truck. I called my sponsor-in-law on the way home and said, what do I do now? She said, take her to another hospital tomorrow. I took her to a different hospital and they checked her in. This is in February. There's no unicorns and rainbows around here right now. And they did not know what was wrong with her. They couldn't figure out what she needed to be okay. They had all kinds of drips going in her. She was coherent. She was awake for a few minutes, and then she'd pass out. Nobody could talk to her, and she almost died. My son came down from Northern California to see his mom before she died. I went to the hospital every day. Called my sponsor on the way down there. I called his wife on the way down there. I called them on the way home. I called them. They'd answer and go, what? They knew it was me. All I knew was to ask for help. And I knew I'd get it. But I didn't know what to do. If I tried to force a solution, I was going to screw it up. They finally balanced her metabolically. It was maybe some kind of a brain inflammation. Oh, she had malnutrition. Because she wasn't even eating right. I mean, I'd come in the kitchen and she had food going. I didn't pay any attention. We eat separately. And they took her to a rehab, which is basically an old folks' home. And she couldn't walk because this inflammation of her brain had screwed up her motor systems. Now, I knew how to be a loving husband. And I was keeping the focus on myself. I went to see her every day. It was about an hour down and an hour back. I'd be there an hour and a half or so. It took almost all day. And I did that every day for almost 2 months. I took her everything she needed. What do you want, my brother? A long list of stuff that she needed every day. My sponsor said things to me like, guys, I'm sorry. I don't have this all processed. I had to write some of this down. He said, act better than you feel. I can do that. I can just pretend for a little while. I've heard that saying that you can't think your way into right acting, but you can act your way into right thinking. So I was just acting my way into right thinking and calling all my sponsors. I didn't shame her like I used to. I remember somebody saying, you can't shame somebody into acting better. You can't hate somebody into acting better. I've tried it. It doesn't work. I didn't say that anymore. The lady who told me about the prayer said, who's the crazy one when you're asking an alcoholic questions and believing the answers? That's something I've done. I believed her. How are we doing on the old deposits? How's that extra house payment going? Great. My part was I never checked. I believed her. I never checked. I was too busy trying to earn enough money so I wouldn't need God. I didn't even look to see if it was true or not. I just believed her. I learned in step four that I caused all my own misery. So I reread my step four to remind myself of some of the things that had been a long time ago I forgot about. I read it. I reread the stories in the first edition of the big book and the newest edition of the big book, because every one of them is a miracle. And in the Al-Anon book, it's the same thing. They're all miracles, just like all the CDs. My sponsors helped me with my boundaries. I say, can I say this? No, don't say that. That's mean. Say this. Okay, I'll say that. Can I do this? You can do that, but be nice while you do it. Things like that. My sponsor-in-law said, just be kind. On page 90 of the AA 12 and 12, it says that it's a spiritual axiom. I looked up the word axiom, and its synonym is truth. It's a spiritual truth that every time I'm disturbed, no matter what the cause, the problem lies within me. Seems like bad news, but it's good news, because I can do something about that. I can work this program, and I can get help. I don't have to do it by myself. That is the best part. Because when you have no self-esteem, you don't feel like you matter and you can't do anything anyway. Dr. Bob's son, who we know was raised in an alcoholic home, said it this way: what's wrong with me that I can't love you? And I'm going to end with this. I've used the word miracle a bunch of times today. And I looked that word up. And the definition of the word miracle, you can look it up yourself, is an event that proves the existence of God. That's what Bill Wilson's experience did. Because he created these programs for us and this new way of living that has saved me and saved my family. Just recently my son said, Dad, you have really changed. I'll never forget that. I could really go on and on. There's a lot more I could have told you. Sorry if I was scatterbrained, but this is all new. It's a family disease. I can drink a beer if I want. It just makes me fall asleep. I don't care. I'm a 60s kid. I can still roll a perfect joint. So what? I love this program, and I admire you guys. I don't know how the disease of alcoholism works, because I need to learn about it. The last thing I'll say is, one time I asked my wife, I said, you know, when we ran a good patch, I felt like you were drinking at me. And she said, nah, you were the last person I was thinking of. It hurt my feelings. You guys, thank you for listening. And for the... Thank you.